Wash My Soul in the River's Flow is a beautiful and very emotional film. How did you get involved in making it?
In 2004, I was running a production company, and my friend Patrick Nolan, who was the concert director who you see in the film, approached me and said, "Look, I'm working on a very special project, and I think we should document it. And would you be interested in filming it?" And that's how I got involved. And at the time, back in 2004, we were going to make a documentary, which is a very different documentary, which is what has ultimately been made, because we were going to follow them on tour and into the communities, but that didn't really happen. There were two other shows. One was in Adelaide, and the other one was in, after it opened at Melbourne International Arts Festival, at the
And we're
Hen
talking
Hall.
about Ruby Hunter and Archie Roach
Roach, yeah.
collaboration with Paul Bobrowsky.
Paul Grabowski and the Australian Art Orchestra. Yeah, that's right. And that's how I got involved. And the footage sat in my closet for about 17 years. So it was it. I always intended to make the film, but it took a while. And of course, people go off and do different things, and things happen, and films are difficult to finance. But finally, in 2020, it all came together, which was very exciting.
And it obviously, as you said, it's a different kind of film because the previous film would have been documenting a musical collaboration, effectively. But now it's really a tribute, isn't it?
It is, look, it's a very different style of documentary in the sense that, I mean, look, we hadn't really thought it through when we filmed it. We just thought at the time it was important to document. But you're right, it would have been a more of a sort of, it would have been more about the collaboration between First Nations artists and non-Indigenous artists. And of course, at the time that the concert was put on and created, the federal government hadn't apologised for Stolen Generations. So it had a different, it had a different context, it had a different social context. All these years later, I think it is a tribute, but what it really is, it's a love story, and it's a love story that's about the love story between Archie and Ruby, the love story that's about music that's shared by Paul Grabowski, the Australian Art Orchestra, and Archie and Ruby. And it's a love story about country. And really, what I want to do was to make the film cinematic. And I think that we obviously consulted with Ruby Hunter's brothers, Eric Richards and Jeff Hunter, her remaining siblings, who took me on to Njerundjeri country, and we filmed this absolutely extraordinary, mind-blowing landscape. And it's not sort of inserts. The country, as it's cut together with the footage and the interviews, is sort of in flow, so that it feels less like a documentary, really. I mean, I tend to think of it as a feature film. It's about music, but it's a concert film, and it's a love story.
Yeah, that actually gets to the next bit. It's actually the making of the film that seems so extraordinary to me. I mean, it's the content, of course, because it is a love story, but it's the strands that you've brought together. And I will, well, for a start, there must have been collaboration, artistically, in a sense, and emotionally, and sensorially with the First Nation actors, surely.
Yes, I mean, of course. I mean, it's about them. The film is from their point of view. Archie is a producer on the project, and he's a producer in the sense that he's not a filmmaker, but he is the custodian of his own stories and Ruby Hunter's, because Ruby Hunter passed in 2010. And everything we did really was in consultation with Archie, with Ruby Hunter's family. So in that sense, culturally, it was a collaboration. I am not an Indigenous filmmaker, so I was, sensitive and very aware that I wasn't, and that I had to reach out and have a meaningful collaboration. And I think that's what we had, which is wonderful. And I think that there was another collaboration that exists when you make a film, which is with your creative collaborators, your editors, your cinematographers, your producers, the amazing sound designer who was Sam Petty. So we worked, you know, I had amazing First Nations collaborators and equally amazing creative collaborators.
Well, it is very emotional, and it's also very, it's an art piece. I mean, it's a film,
it is.
But it's an art piece.
Well, that's where I come from.
Oh, right.
As a direct, yeah, very much so.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Look, I spent, you know, 25 years in feature film as a creative executive, which meant that I worked very closely on script and with directors. But the other thing I did was, you know, I come from a visual arts background and I mean, I have a degree in philosophy and I always studied film, but I've also been pretty involved in visual arts, both through friends and through collaboration. So I did actually produce some screen-based media artworks, one of which was called Starry Night, which was The Vivid by an artist, Brad Miller. And then I did another one in 2018, which was about Juanita Nielsen with artist Sammy Bez, which screened at Acme for 3 months. Now, that was as a producer, but my main interest in film is, has to do with the artist cinema. So, you know, my sensibility is that. That's kind of what I want to make. And so that's what I think I brought as a director to the project.
Yeah, I think so too. I was fascinated by the level of research you must have done in order to be able to incorporate the stunning pieces of text you used.
Yeah, well, the text I came across was mainly from Archie Roach's memoir, Tell Me Why, which if no one has read, get thee to a bookshop immediately. It's a really, really extraordinary story, and it's Archie's memoir. And I was very conscious of the fact, working with First Nations artists and not being First Nations myself, that I didn't want to impose words onto their experience. And even though the songs are very much about, and the concert is about spoken word, and they talk about their songs before they sing them, and there's short interviews that happen within the songs about the songs and what they mean, there were still gaps. And in terms of the narrative, I wanted to create a narrative that was organic but also was in Archie's and Ruby's words. So I was very economic in the way I think I used the lines in the text from Archie's book, because it's a big book, and also the lines that I used of Ruby's. And that was really about making sure that their voice was still in the text and it was from their point of view. So, yeah.
Yeah, the film is cross-contextual in a sense.
Yes, it is. It is. It's multi-layered in the sense that I was aware that I was working with archive. I mean, it was odd to me to call it archive because I just saw it as a continuum in a way. And in fact, what I wanted to do was to bring together that concert. But that concert was also very much about their memories because it was about their past and their present. So I wanted to bring together the idea of past and present and memory and country and what they sang about. I wanted it to be in a sort of single continuum. But I was also aware that it's quite difficult to do that and hold an audience's attention, and that the multi-layering as an approach was also, you know, it. I wanted it to flow, but, you know, we have Super 8, we have 4K HD, we have, you know, digital Betacam, which has been technologically renovated in a sense to bring it up to standard. We've got still photographs, we've got quite experimental images, which is the paint and the ink in the tanks behind intertitles. And I worked with a designer I've worked for 15 or 20 years on the intertitles. So, you know, all of those things were approached with, it was textural and it was multi-layered, and that seemed to me appropriate creatively.
And it's a rhythm. So is that how you,
yes,
visualized it or dramatized it?
Yes, it was all about flow. So it's called Wash My Soul in the River's Flow, and that's the title of one of Archie's songs, and it's the last song in the film. And it's almost a gospel-inspired song, and it's very upbeat, but it's very spiritual and kind of brings everything together. But it was, Paul Grabowski said something, and it's in the film, where he talks about how when Archie sings in particular, there is this flow from song to song, and it's quite riverine. And I thought that's a good principle in terms of the edit and the rhythm, that it had to flow, that I didn't want to take the audience out of that flow. So it was very much about you draw people in and then you take them on a journey and you deliver them somewhere, but it flows. It's not jerking them out with talking heads and cutting into songs. Like, you actually, with each song, it plays out. So we have like the whole songs. We've got 10 whole songs. There were 14 in the concert, but that was too long for the film.
Yes.
And also, the concert order of the songs is not the film's order of songs. Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite clear that each of the elements that you use, and it was about focus. That was the bit I was going to get to. You as the filmmaker and the people who were working with you, maintaining focus on so many potential avenues you could have gone down.
That's really, you know, it's very perceptive, obviously. In the sense that, I mean, what happened was, I mean, as with every filmmaker who has footage and is reinventing something, you know, there's a number, if the material is rich, and this was very rich, I could have made 3 or 4 different films that were very different. I mean, really quite different. And I had to, I mean, I think that's the director's job, really. You decide what stays and what goes. And there was a lot, you know, it's taking things out so that you create a clarity.
Or someone said, killing your baby.
Yeah. And look, there are things that still pain me. I mean, I could have made a whole film about Ruby and her relationship with memory and clothes, which I was fascinated by. I love clothes and Ruby loves clothes. And she talks about, you know, there was a whole theme, and I had to, you know, I had to take it out, really. I mean, there's remnants of it in the film, but which was Ruby talking, describing what she was wearing at key moments in her life. But it just interrupted the greater story. So it's about not getting bogged down in those details. But the problem is, they're great details and they're fascinating. And, you know, there's particular moments in the rehearsal room that which was interactions between Paul and Archie and Ruby and the musicians that were wonderful. And, you know, I had great stuff with the musicians talking about what it meant to them to work with Archie and Ruby. But, you know, it's a different film. So I had to be brutal. I mean, and I think that's your job, creatively brutal to produce something that is satisfying. And the thing is, when you overload, I mean, quite often I see things and I think, oh, that is way overloaded. You're sort of jangled by the information. And I funny in a way, because I made an old-fashioned film in the sense that I made it for the cinema. You know, it's a film that when you see it on a small screen, it reads very differently because it's an immersive experience, and you're in the dark and it's the music and it builds. So, you know, I really hope people get to see it in the cinema because I made it for the cinema. You know, but I'm also aware that, you know, in reality, most people will probably end up seeing it on a television screen.
I agree with you. I finished the film. It is a build, and I finished the film feeling quite emotional, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It does. I mean, it's funny because I've seen it, 700 times. But last night we had a screening in Hobart in Tasmania, a special screening event, and I was in the audience and I felt really emotional. But I felt emotional because when it was a very good cinema, the sound was great, I was in the dark, the screen was great, and I was able to sort of let go of so many other things and just and actually feel what it was to lose Ruby and what that love story was and the pain. And also, I mean, I think that it was one of the reasons I really want to make the film. People are very moved by their humanity and their generosity of spirit, and it's very moving. And I think that that's what a lot of people feel emotional about, that it's quite rare in this world to see people who've suffered and been denied so much, and to make something very beautiful of their lives and to not have bitterness or any kind of anger, in fact. And that's very profound. And yeah,
it's like the real.
I think that's, yeah. And I think that's why people, people sort of say, I know why I'm emotional, but I don't really know why I'm emotional. And I think that has something to do with it. It stirs something deep in us.